Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
And today we're joined by Micah Branson. Micah, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
She's a returning guest. I think I'm going to call her that.
Our returning guest, Micah Branson.
Or the filler. I'll take that.
Hey, it's always a good conversation when we have Micah at the table. And so we're glad that you're here today. I just love how organically God just brings to us a topic and we talk about it. And so today it's a topic that I don't have as much background in, being my background. I played some sports. They were usually in a field.
I was going to say, oh, but you do. You become proficient in the field.
Yes, I've become proficient in the field for whatever that means. But today we're going to talk about Jesus and sports and youth and whatever that looks like. I know that you're passionate about all of those things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Got to order them correctly then.
So today,
I've learned.
Today,
Lord, we're gonna, family sports.
Yes.
Today, we're going to talk about Jesus, family, and sports in a particular order. And so, Micah, why don't you just share a little bit with us just to start out today, a little bit of your background of why you're passionate about sports.
Sure. I guess I was born into a family that valued it. As recreation, but also it was just kind of a part of what we did together. I think my mom was passionate about giving us opportunities, but also that we would try things and find the things that stirred our soul. And it never, she always had the approach like it didn't have to be what she did, but she would help with it and she would make it happen.
Yeah. Did she make you, if you maybe didn't really connect with in the particular thing that you had signed up for, did you have to finish?
I never stopped. Just kept adding to. But no, with my brother, tried a lot of different things, and it was always like a one, you know, finish the season, and yeah. If you didn't like it, go do something else.
Yeah, but you finished a season.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always appreciate those around me that have, you know, that you make a commitment. One of my kids said something the other day about, can I try cross country? And then if I don't like it, can I quit like on day two or three? And I was like, I don't know about that. I said, how about we run together? Because I needed it, my 40-year-old self.
Yes.
I said, let's run together in the summer before it, get you ready for it. And then if you so choose in the training phase that you don't like this, then we just won't go there. But
that
if you like running
wisdom.
With mom.
Yeah.
I had some time to think it through. I see middle school coming for her, and so talked about it. But she wants to do everything. She's another me made over.
Yeah.
So
many me.
Oh, absolutely.
And just for point of reference, what sports did you play?
I was trying to think back to the beginning. So I think it was six when I started, like basketball and then farm league baseball in Mount Crawford. And mom coached my basketball teams when I was younger. And we had this amazing group of young ladies that we were all pretty average height-wise, but above average relationally, I think. And mom and Frank Sprinkle shepherded that group. Merlin Reich helped with that group. And we just had an amazing group for basketball for a number of years. And on the softball side, I actually played baseball first at Mount Crawford and was one of the few girls. And so
that at Munger Field?
Munger Field didn't exist.
Okay. I played Little League at Munger.
Yeah. You played Mount Crawford.
For Dane David, yeah.
We just had the old two fields over by the Ruertan building. And so that's where I played. And you remember when you're the only girl, the boys that were nice to you, and there were so many of them that I got to interact with and coaches that now that I went from coaching college level, helping some high school players here and there to coaching T-ball. And when I started back at the beginning, my admiration for the guys and ladies who helped me in the beginning has grown to exponential.
I'm sure.
We had one girl on our farm league team and she played third, so pretty good.
You can't hide those girls.
Yeah, that's right.
So I stayed with those two sports all the way up through high school, got to play at Turner Ashby. And then when I went to college, I decided I couldn't major in softball or basketball. Also, I was 5'6", so that was kind of a problem at the next level for some. And I would have had opportunities, but I chose my major in animal science over the sports. Thought if I wasn't Division I material that it would be over for me, which is a whole nother conversation that I love to have with people about the opportunities that are there. Because I ended up kind of backdooring getting to play club softball at Virginia Tech. Amazingly talented group of girls, could hit it out 1 through 9, so competitive. And we ended up winning a national championship in 2007. So I like walked into this amazing opportunity. And then Coach McCurdy, who was my coach in high school, needed an infield coach at EMU right about the time I was coming back. And so I got to coach at EMU for 8 years and have had some opportunity to help with camps, help with high school practices with friends here and there. And so I continue to lean into that space. I think my mind just never said, Mikey, you're older than 18 or 20. And so I connect pretty well with, I love the high school and college age kids. So, and now I'm back at the beginning. I've been coaching Layton's team since she was 8, been doing T-ball, then farm league, now we're at minors. That first year of kid pitches, pretty rough for everybody, but we just lived through that. So,
and you survived, the kids all survived.
They did.
The first year of coach pitch was rough for us. Dad, you know, he was the head coach and we had 2 assistants. And so he let the other coaches pitch because he hit us in practice, not on purpose, but funny enough, the one game we won out of 10, he had to pitch. So
that's Chad's job. I give my husband that one. He's a better pitcher than me. I have learned to pitch enough since I was playing baseball. When softball is typically developing pitchers, that's my weak spot, really. I didn't learn a whole lot about that because I was pitching, but I was pitching overhand to boys. And so I have learned to pitch enough to throw to my girls in practice. And the different size balls is interesting, too. You throw a 12 to the high school and college girls, and you throw a little beanie 11 to the 10-year-olds. And so
changes everything, don't it?
Yeah, it changes your perspective.
Sports and Jesus, where is there a inroad to?
Well, and nowadays, there's a lot of travel sports. And I think, can they not like keep sports out of Sunday? But some of them, I actually, Pastor Kevin, that's our pastor here at the church, he talked about at his former church in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, one of his main guys, his son played travel baseball, but they had church on Sundays. Even when they weren't at church, they had church. And the guy was like, well, my kid's going to be there. I might as well go with them and make sure that they get church. And so Kevin's like, well, what can I do? Like, this guy's, he's wanting to provide church. Nowadays, if you don't play travel sports, it's like they can't play the next level and all this other stuff. And
those are some amazing thoughts and questions. I'm so glad you asked them because I interact with all of that almost daily. And could it stay out of Sunday? My heart would be yes, that it would, because Sundays are created for rest and worship. Yep. And when we don't use them in such a frame as that, we fall behind. Our souls fall behind.
Totally agree.
It's the provision that was given for us. So, you know, when the scheduling allows, I shy away from it as much as I can. Now, it will constantly try to come in, and when it does, from a tournament standpoint, I like one days on Saturdays. And we've had lots of great conversations at the ballpark around that. And then when it can't be avoided and you've got some 2 days in there, I have done devotionals with my girls on Sunday morning, and I kind of lead with, let's keep the main thing here. And when we travel with hunting, I have found that either we leave after church or wherever I'm at, I have a friend that's deeply committed to this too. We go find a church and we go be present. And we've actually forged some amazing relationships by attending churches in other areas. Yes. You had asked, there was a second part to that question.
How to incorporate it when you can't avoid it in those, you know, you said you try to do Saturday tournaments, but sometimes it might be a Saturday and Sunday tournament.
Well, and it's a double-edged sword, because for the young kids that I'm coaching at ages 8 and 10, you get past the second game from a softball standpoint, or probably any sport, they're like, okay, we're done. Let's go to the pool. Let's go to the playground, you know, because they're kids. They're still kids. And so a 2-day tournament affords you that opportunity to just play 2 or 3 games, be done, and go to the next day. But My heart would be that Sundays are for rest and worship. And though you can worship on the softball field, you know, I love Colossians 3:23 when thinking about, you know, my interaction, my life with sports, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Right. And if you keep that perspective that what I'm doing here, I am gifted with this ability through Christ. And I am giving it back to him and my effort on the field, regardless of the outcome. Yeah.
Right. That's right.
And I think I've heard you say before, your two kids are very different. One of them wants to play sports all the time, and the other, he's a little younger. And it's, you got to understand your kid and make sure they don't get burned out in sports.
Right. And he played Little League last year and said he enjoyed it. And so we were talking about, you know, next year, whatever. He goes, Mommy, I'm going to play none ball next year.
None ball.
None yellow ball.
Right? And I was like, okay, 7-year-old, sir, what's that mean? You know, and he's like, I'm not playing none ball where they yell at you. And so, you know, his presence in the travel ball space has been, he comes to every practice, he loads the tee for my girls, or he's playing with a ball somewhere, feral, like a lot of siblings of travel ball kids. But he has been present at a lot of games. And so, though he has not heard that, you know, my heart for my coaching staff is that, you know, we're developing the love for the next year. We're developing the fundamentals and community members, wives, husbands, members of the workforce is first in my mind. And so the yelling doesn't really resonate with me. I never had somebody, well, I did have one person do it to me, but much later in my life, he got a lot out of me actually, but I was 32, not 10. He has heard that and he's like, I'm not down for that. And I said, well, your father's going to coach you in Little League next year. So I think you'd be okay. He more wants to play with us in the backyard. He has to play football every evening and he wants to run routes and he wants to be the quarterback and make us try to get him. And I see that in my softball girls too, that I coach, like they deeply desire for us to play with them at a basic level. And so I will incorporate into practice a lot kids versus parents. And I get more out of them. When they're playing against us, they're pretty tough, you know. Mm-hmm. Playing against each other, they're not quite as competitive, but they're hard on us.
It's like here in the youth group when we have dodgeball tournament, and at the end we have the adults versus the students. They're way more motivated when they're against the adults. Than
they love that interaction.
I think that's beautiful. Just to bring that, the family, the community, to make it about everyone there. I love that. I love that picture.
And I love that our parents have been willing, you know, and want to come out and play regardless of their skill level. They say yes and come out. And, you know, like we're willing to embarrass ourselves. I think one of us fell down running the bases, you know, like some older brothers are really, really good, but they're willing to come play with little sister. And I just love that interaction that builds community through sports. Because those relationships, as I look at all of my involvement in sports and continues to be, the relational piece is number one, the village that it's built for me and a lot of believers in that. I think you were trying to form a question of like, you know, how does faith come into this, or how does it play a part? And I was asked to share my testimony as it revolves around the sport of softball about 6 months ago. And that was a beautiful process. Like anybody that's ever played a sport, like sit down and think about how you would frame how the gospel has shaped that experience. And it's beautiful to think about the teammates that pointed to Jesus, the teammates that lived out Jesus type of influence in your life. And as I looked back through it, I had teammates in high school that sat with me on the bus and challenged me to walk closer with Jesus than what I was at that time, who took the time and got over the fact that I was a bigger sinner than them. You know, I had one of those at TA. When I went to college, I had a teammate or two that was not into the party scene and the dark places that the rest of us were. And instead of condemning us, these two young ladies drove the van, made sure we got home okay, and physically would carry people out of places they shouldn't have been in to begin with. And remembering that influence makes me want to be that teammate, but also makes me want to pass on to my girls the importance of being that teammate. Because that's more important than any stat or anything you provide in the scorebook.
Yeah. To think about someone's willing to really go against their stand, to go that extra mile to make sure that you were protected, that you got home, and that your teammates were safe. There's a light that shines through that they probably had no idea they were shining.
No clue. I don't think they had any idea.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I had an opportunity to play some, I called it old lady slow pitch travel softball. And I played a bunch of co-ed around too with some great people, but had an opportunity to play on teams until I was about 32. And we had quite a run there for a number of years and a few girls from the Valley. And I had a couple teammates in the outfield that were beside me when we won a World Series in 13. And the two outfielders on either side of me would never say a cuss word, never take a drink, never, you know, and they were so quiet about it. And they never once condemned anybody else. But I can tell you I was paying attention and they were elevating me as they just walked out who they were. And I had another teammate on that team that was superintendent of Sunday schools at her church. And so we had worship by the pool on Sunday mornings. And we led prayer after every game with the other team. So there would be, you know, one of our Fusion players, one of theirs, ringed around the pitcher's mound, holding hands and praying after every game. And it was just a powerful experience to be a part of that. That was 11 years ago now, but it still sticks out in my mind.
Sounds like a character coach.
They all were. There's a number of them there.
Yeah, very needed. What a great place to be light in our community, and using that, the giftings that you have, the giftings that those that had before you to help you and you now to help others and to shine that light is powerful witness.
I think that just paints a beautiful picture of the great cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on, and I have some of those, actually, teammates have moved on to eternal glory. And so as I've gotten older and I get an opportunity, like with Grayson, to go out and play church ball for a few years, you know, I would pick up the dirt and just kind of look around me and be like, thank you, Lord, that I still have the opportunity to be this. And then I think about those teammates that passed on and, you know, what they left behind in the way of relationship and influence.
Yeah. Well, talking about church ball, like, you know, when I started out, I just played and I'd go. And some nights if I didn't play, I'd be upset. But now I'm like, okay, like as the coach now. And then I was just playing. Now is like my favorite position, I think, is third base coach or first base coach. I'm okay. Like, I just enjoy the fellowship and enjoy watching the rest of them have fun. And I like drawing up. I'm nerdy. I like drawing up a lineup and just putting everybody at positions and seeing it.
Seeing it work.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a gifting, too, to be able to see it.
And everyone that comes to that team brings gifts.
Yeah.
You know, and getting them the right people in the right places, seeing that come to fruition.
And we had a few young players play this year, and we had one of our best players started in left field, and he got hurt early on. And one of the young kids, he's a junior in high school now, so it was summer between sophomore and junior year. We shifted him from left center to left field, and in slow pitch softball, that is where you put your best outfielder. And
fastest.
So I had him, and he is the fastest on our team. Had him, and he's one of those kids, he's good, but he's kind of playing for fun. Like, first few years he played, his dad made him play. Actually, funny enough, recently I said, I'm so impressed that he came even a few games when you weren't there. He said, I made him come. I told him he had to show up. Actually, that same dad said, if I can get my daughter to play, I'd retire, because he's in his 50s. He was the one who coached me the first 7 years I played for the church league, and then he had to take a few years back to minister to his family, and now he's back. He doesn't want to coach, but I feel like I got him as a bench coach. From time to time, he'll say, well, if I was coaching, this is what I would do.
The strategy of that is a lot of fun. The communication piece, particularly youth sports, is now more of a conversation and a partnership. When I was younger, I feel like our parents dropped us off at practice and like vamoosed, you know, and now every parent is in the gym. Every parent is at the ballpark. And so there's a lot more interaction that takes place, and it's more of a partnership with parents than it ever was before. But understanding that though your daughter may be a phenomenal this or a phenomenal that, she helps our team more based on the personnel we have in this position is always an interesting piece together. And I have many, many friends that coach at different levels, friends that have played at different levels. And the dinner table at home can either make or break a team.
Yeah.
The opinions and thoughts that are shared and the light in which they're shared can either be a positive lifting up or can tear the fabric of it. And so I think there's a huge responsibility for us parents in youth sports today to give grace, to have grace. Because there's a lot of feedback for coaches that wasn't there before because parents weren't present at every single second of everything. And now that they are, that feedback that you give your child and how you frame that coach has a lot to do with how they look at their team. It's also shifted, you know, when I played anything many, many years ago, it was about like, let's put together this plan to win as a team. And a lot more of it is starting to shift to more of an individual type of approach. And I think how we shepherd that as parents, learning to be a teammate, I have carried much more into my career and my faith life as far as walking with others than anything I ever achieved as an individual.
Yeah, I think that's when you have, not everyone can be in the spotlight, right? Yeah. But if we all do our part,
right,
as a part of the team,
right,
then we win as a team,
right,
and there's no one necessarily
right
looking for the glory. You know, right, there might be a good kid that gets more praise or, you know, whatever, but allowing that to happen organically instead of teaching our kids to push for that. And I love what you said about around the dinner table. You know, that can make or break a lot. It's not just sports. I could say that could be church, right? Like,
true,
no matter where, like when we have those conversations, sometimes there can be secondhand offense that happens. And all of a sudden you have people thinking things that they had never, kids wanting things. And yeah, that's tough, but it is a real thing.
I love and have always gravitated to the team sports for some reason, but I also love to watch how like track athletes support each other, how swimming athletes come together. You would say that's more of an individual team, but not if you watch those teams interact.
Yeah.
I did run indoor track. I didn't even mention that because it's not worth mentioning, but I tried that one time and wasn't real good at sprinting, I found out, so ended up killing myself in the weight room for, you know, on my own instead of that in the future. But passing the baton in the relays was probably my favorite thing that I got to do in that season of life, and just how those other sports support each other and lift each other up as a team is beautiful to me as
yeah
well.
We can learn a lot. And I think there's so much you said, you know, your being involved in sports and learning to work with a team impacted you greatly.
Oh, know, absolutely.
In your career. I think that's such a beautiful part of learning to play as being there for the team.
Yeah.
And not having whatever individual motivations, but
sure,
being there for the team.
And I think, too, things we can teach younger players, but it's relevant to all ages, whatever sports you're playing, is teach them not to be afraid to fail. And knowing that when they fail, we're still going to believe in them. The one player I mentioned, like, I batted him leadoff or second every time. And the other person, if I didn't bat him, was the other young player that I had who had just graduated high school. And, like, I was like, you know, I just consistently, I'm going to bat these 1-2 no matter what. Like, just to, you know, because I felt like it builds confidence and playing them at a specific spot.
I love baseball, softball for that. I love the overcoming that that sport in particular teaches. I think that's why I'm so passionate about it. If you fail 7 times out of 10, you're probably an All-American. You know, like if you fail 6 times out of 10, you know, you're beyond special.
Yeah.
And the amount of willpower that it takes and perspective to fail that often and to overcome it, but to also help your teammates overcome it too,
right,
because we don't do anything on our own.
Right.
There's nobody who's achieved something as an individual in that sport that didn't have some teammates around them that either lifted them up or beyond injury, failure, whatever it is, to help them get there.
And I think you were talking about the two players you learned from either side, but you were talking about coaching and how you talked about your son was saying no yell ball, and you said, well, your dad's going to be your coach. Well, I know the first year that I played farm league baseball, my dad was the coach, and we only won one game. And at the end of the year, dad figured, they'll probably be upset. But they said, we wouldn't want our kids to play for anybody else because we had fun and we learned a lot more stuff that was more important than wins and losses.
I'm from a generational family of hatchet women in basketball, and I find that I may have replicated that. My mom was named Hatchet Woman and probably had more fouls than points, and her daughter was similar. So she coached in our early years, and they had a referee come over to them. We didn't win a game that first year, I don't think. But we learned a great amount about fundamentals and people, and the referee came over and said to my mom, like, you all might not know a lot about basketball right now, but you know a lot about people, don't you? And she was like, I don't know how to take that, you know, as a compliment or what, but I think it's the highest compliment you can give To be like, I see what you're doing with these kids, and it's valuable.
And that's winning well and losing well. I know in Little League, I talked about Mount Crawford, we won a lot of games, and sometimes the kids like, we're going to do a slaughter rule, and the coaches were like, no, we're not going to talk about that. We're just going to play. They'll let us know when the game is over.
I love what one of my fellow coaches at Broadway came up with this year, because our girls would always ask us at the end. We just had a scorebook, not a scoreboard. The girls would come over and say, who won? Who won? And my friend would say Broadway won, because we had three different minor teams. We did the draft together. We evened out. Of course, you have to take your own kid, right? And then you have pitchers, and we evened out the travel kids. And then we tried to make it as fair as we could. And then beyond that, we didn't just pitch the one kid who had all this experience. We would pitch multiple kids each game. And guess what? We all won, because we're building that program for the entire place. And I love that was her perspective she shared with the kids. So I started sharing it too.
Yeah, I love that, because those kids are going to filter into the schools, and that becomes the foundation for sports in Broadway for softball. You know, that's pretty wild to think about.
So.
You know, that
we're all invested in that. Yeah, and that takes all those coaches together.
And it takes, it's not just generational. It's from one, you know, think about your mom coached and you're coaching and your kids are invested in it. The foundational aspect of that for a community and how you are doing that is phenomenal.
Well, and it's like serving in the church, because if you see your parents serving in certain areas, you're going to be, you know, excited about that. And I think Layton can't wait to be whatever age it is here we have to be to serve in youth ministry.
Awesome.
And we've talked about how, like, just your presence is serving.
Right.
So my daughter's pretty mature, and she would like to sit in service with us, but this is her last year of Kid City. And my son's real, real quiet. Like, he could sit with us, but I'm like, your presence is needed as a part of the body of the entire church, Christ Church, the whole thing, not just our church. So you need to go and be present in Kid City and be a part of that, and then you can sit with us for the rest of your life if you so choose. Yeah. And I will welcome it.
And Pastor Julie, who recently decided to stay home with her boys, she said it's not junior church. It's church. It's just they're younger, but it's still church.
And they're sending home not just the guiding verse, but what they talked about that day. And so it gives me a springboard for additional conversation that comes out of that.
Yeah. Good. I know by the time you get to fifth grade, you're ready to move on. And that's a good thing.
Yes.
Because they need to be ready, because it's coming. That move is going to happen. And I see a lot of kids, you know, they get to that age and they're like, man, our kids don't want to. I'm like, man, but that's a good thing because they are now, they're ready. You know, they're ready to move to the next thing. So job well done, Kids Church.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, church. There's been so many things in our life walk in faith that I've been like, thanks, church, because I didn't teach them that, but you did. I can see it lived out.
Yeah,
it's a village approach. We actually talk about that. A lot of the parents that I'm just blessed to walk with as our kids play ball and we get to interact. I do that more on the basketball side because I'm not coaching, and so I get to interact, but we pick up and drop off, and if somebody needs something, I mean, I have 6 pairs of cleats at my house that are different sizes. I don't know where they came from.
Somebody will need them.
And then someone else will get them from me. So.
Yeah. That's good.
Well, Micah, it's been great to have you today. Anything in closing that we haven't asked you already or that's on your mind that you'd like to share on this topic?
As a part of that testimony I shared on softball, the verse that jumped out at me was Psalm 24:7-9. It was, so wake up, you living gateways, lift up your heads, you doorways to eternity. Welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come through you. Wake up and rejoice, fling wide you eternal doors. Here he comes, the King of Glory is ready to come in. And I said I would add here, the King of Glory is ready to come in through you. I think as I think about how sports has connected with my faith life, it is a piece of the eternal door that God gives us.
Good. And, you know, we call this program Hope Talks. So what about this conversation brings you, I mean, you've shared a lot about it, but what brings you the most hope, maybe even for the future of this topic?
Probably the kids I get to interact with themselves. You know, we're supposed to have a childlike faith. And the total acceptance that I've seen from like 8 and 10-year-olds and walking through the coaching journey, you know, as my daughter gets older and my son gets older, when they see you or you see them out in a different area, just that sense of connection. And I think God looks at us like that. And so it gives me hope that, like, you know, he's looking at me saying, hey, let's have a hug. I missed you. I'm so glad you were part of my life.
That's great.
That's been the building of community and the building of relationship through sports has been a powerful part of my Christian walk.
Well, thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard us talk with Micah Branson today about ministry and youth sports and how those combine, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg, in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.